Lessons from the Lathe, Parshas Bo, Rosh Chodesh Shvat, Haba Aleinu Latova. This morning on Lessons from the Lathe, I shared, which I will do very quickly, but Rav Biderman's concept, his idea that in Parshas Devarim, when Moshe decides to teach us the Torah, the Be'er of the Torah, he does it on Rosh Chodesh Shvat. He ba'arba'im shana be'eshteis asar, on the 10th month. This is it. The 11th month, Achodesh, who Lachodesh, Hoyel Moshe Be'er es HaTorah Azois. He told us the Be'er of the Torah. So the Svarim HaKadoshim, as Rav Biderman says that this is the time, Rosh Chodesh Shvat is the time where the Torah comes down to us for us to accept the Torah, the Be'er of the Torah, even more. The Chedush HaRim, the great Ger Rebbe, says Rosh Chodesh Shvat, the wellsprings of the Torah, is open to us for Chedush HaTorah. I thought about this last night because I had a hard time picking a topic. Baruch Hashem, I recognize that I think I've been doing Lessons from the Lathe for at least 4 years. And I was doing a topic yesterday. I was reading Rav Aaron Soloveitchik's piece on the parsha, and I'm like, wait a minute, I think I did that a few years ago. So something came to me actually when I was learning with one of my sons, and I thought, I said, oh, this is the idea. And then the tragedy happened yesterday with Kobe Bryant, and I said, I got to figure out how to include that. So with Hashem Shat L'Shmaya being Rosh Chodesh, maybe the Chiddush Torah, I'll be able to relate this so everybody will have what to take out of this. The parsha in the beginning tells us something remarkable because we see that there are degradations of Moshe's wanting the Jewish people out. As we know in the beginning, Moshe does not say, I want to just leave Mitzrayim, right? Shalach ami v'avduni. But the idea was is that he said, just let me leave for 3 days. And in last week's parsha, as we spoke about in last week's lesson from the Lathe, he actually is offered a 3-day reprieve to daven in the country, and he won't because he says we can't bring korbanos. At the end of the parsha, of course, we learn about the korban Pesach because it's not going to be fair to the Mitzrim who are going to see this, and it's not appropriate to them. So we understand that as the Jews leave Mitzrayim, and in their experience in Mitzrayim, they go through a lot. And in our parshios, we should recognize, as we read last week in the parsha, as Rav Biderman also points out, that the key word is the Otseti Eschem Mitachas Sivalot Mitzrayim. We leave Mitzrayim. In this week's parsha, we start the process of leaving. What does the word Sivalot Mitzrayim mean? So we generally interpret it as the difficulties that we had there. It was impossible to live there under the regime of Avdus. And as we know, the Avdus only got worse as Moshe was the leader. Then the Makos start. Last week, the 7 Makos. This week, we complete all the Makos. But the Sfas Emes says that the word Sivlos is tolerance, to tolerate. Unfortunately, the Jews started to tolerate what was happening to them in Mitzrayim. Their lack of interest in Hashem, their lack of interest in Torah Mitzvahs, was apparent at the time. The Sfas Emes writes in the name of his grandfather, the Chedushei HaRim, that is the sin of Gullus. Gullus is when we tolerate our sins because we're better than they are. Look at the other nations. They're not so bad. It's okay. The occasional Aveira is okay because it's so much better than so-and-so. And occasionally, if we do something wrong, that's fine. And that's why Hashem says, "V'yotzeisi eschem mitachas sivalos mitzrayim." I will make it that you can't tolerate the sins. Gula is no, even the littlest thing. I don't want to tolerate. And that's what the Sfas Emes says, that one becomes revolted by the averus that he does. That is gula. You want your own gula? It's not appropriate. We're in the times of Shovim now. Shovim is a time of enhanced Kedusha. It's a time that we say, I'm not taking it. It's not enough. Yes, I know. I was here last year. I pointed out that Shvat is almost half time for when we were in Rosh Hashanah time. Rosh Hashanah, is about, you know, we're 5 months out. And here we are, Rosh Chodesh Shvat. And we say to myself, oh my God, what did I agree to Hashem? What did I scream, especially when you're Shana Bet? I was able to focus on more. And I said all these things I was going to do, and I didn't do it. Shovavim was the time to start the Kedusha. We know Shovavim of the Parshios from Shemos. We take very seriously the Shibud Mitzrayim, even though we're just reading about it. It's not just reading about it. Rav Palm says it comes down to our days. Shovavim comes from Shvira, from breaking. So let's go delve into the Parsha. So We have this great story where Hashem tells Moshe to go to Paro, Hichbati le Paro, and to warn him now is going to be the Makos are going to get even worse. And Paro says, he gets nervous, and he says, you know, Ad Masai. So he says, okay. He says, maybe it's time to go out. So what does Paro say? He says, okay, I'm going to let you out. This is it. He gives them the offer. The offer of all offers. You can leave. All the men can go serve God like you wanted to do. You don't want to do it here in last week's parsha? Fine. Go out and serve. And he says this great line. Came a great song by Avram Fried. No, sir. We are not leaving alone. We're only going to go with our youth, with our elders. Everybody, so what does Paro answer him? What? He says, wait a minute. Paro says, if you're really doing that, you know who's going to have to be on your side? If you're really telling the truth, oh, God's going to have to be. Hashem Yimachem, God's going to have to be with you. You know why? Because you're going to be with your children, with your cattle, with your animals. You're going to be on the road. How are you going to serve Hashem? How's that possible? How are you going to have Kavanah to serve Hashem? He goes, that shows me that you only had an evil intent. Ki ra'ah. There's only bad here. And this Rashi comments on, a beautiful Rashi over here, a very difficult Rashi to understand, but we'll do it together. And he says, what's happening over here? So he says that Tachas Sivulos Mitzrayim, that the time of Mitzrayim, and says Rashi, the Ra'ah, what is the Ra'ah? Only bad will happen to you, he says. He says the only bad Paro's astrologers told him, this is Rashi. He says Paro's astrologer says, Ra'u Kineged Panechem, what? Ki Targumo, Medrash Agada, Shemati, Kochav Achad. He said there's one star in the world. This is what the astrologers tell him, right? As we know, they were very into astrology. So they said the stars told him something very important. Ra'ah is a star, and the star is that don't worry about it. B'nai Yisrael will have a bloody end. They're going to be no good. It's going to be bloody. Moshe understood from this. He says, Paru, Ra'ah, again, Ra'ah, according to, this is Rashi. He says, Pshat is Ra'ah is a type of star that's a bloody star. And he says, don't worry about it. They could go and do whatever they want. It's all going to be bad because they're going to lead to blood. It's going to be a bloody end. But Moshe knew that bloody end is not going to be a real bloody end like we think it is. The bloody end is going to be that finally they're going to get out the Mitzrayim from them. Right? The famous idea that it took 40 years in Mitzrayim to take out the Shibud Mitzrayim. The 210 years they were there. And the final crescendo, besides, of course, accepting the Torah, was Bris Milah. Yehoshua, finally, Chavot Tzurim. That they're going to have a Bris Milah. That's the blood that we're talking about. Oh, but what happened? Came along the time of Cheta Egel. And Hashem seemingly wants to destroy the Jewish people. What does Moshe say? You know why you can't destroy them? Because then the Ra'ah is going to be right. They're going to have a bloody end and all die. You can't do this, Hashem, because remember back in Mitzrayim, Paro's astrologers are going to be right. Their claim is going to be right. There's a wonderful sefer, the Sheol Sechuvos Zayat Ranan. It's funny because I saw this quoted by Rav Zilberstein, and I was trying to, so he writes, Zayat Ranan. Aleph. So he writes the Zayas Ra'anon. Zayas, you know, they. So there's Rav Moshe Yehuda Leib Zilberberg. He was the Rav of the Av Beis Din of Kutna. And then he moved, there's a great, amazing history. He moved to Eretz Yisrael, to the Old City. There's a Rosh Hashiva and Eitz Chaim and other places. And he wrote a Sheol Sechuvos. In back of his Sefer, he has a thing on the Parsha, Divrei Agadata. He actually died. His yahrzeit is this week, Gimel Shvat. And he says the following thing. What does it mean, ki ra'ah neged peinechem? Obviously you have evil intent. Listen to this vort. He says, you know why? Because you're surely doomed to death. You're doomed. You're lying to me. He says, because nobody ever would take their kids to shul. If I really wanted a kavanah, and actually Rav Zilberstein brings this up because he was asked the following question, right? This is a very common question by the Hasidim. There's a very special treat that Hasidim get. I now do a lot of business with Hasidim. It's one of the great companies that I deal with. So a lot of them are Belzer Hasidim and Belzer and Klusenberg. So a lot of them leave for Yom Kippur to go to the Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael. They leave Muncie and they go to Eretz Yisrael. So he asked the question. The wife's like, I'd love for you to go. Or the guy's going, I don't know, maybe to Uman nowadays. He says, but she says, but what about your kids? Your sons are getting older, you know, 8-year-old, whatever. What is he going to do in shul by himself? Take your kid. She says, wait a minute, take my kid to the Rebbe? I'm not going to have any kavanah Yom Kippur. What's the point? That was the Shaila. So he quotes this, Zayit Ranan, and he says, that's exactly the vort that Paro's trying to say. How are you going to have kavanah? Number one, you're going to be traveling on the road, which you already know there's a halacha that says that you shouldn't daven when you're traveling on the road, because it's very difficult, right? You guys know, you've davened on a plane before. You don't have the greatest kavanah in the world, for sure not. You're traveling, right? I've had, you know, when I davened, I told you that time in Jordan, and all the people came out of the room, and not so easy. How are you going to have kavanah? That was the vort. He says, what kind of kavanah are you going to have? It must mean that you are lying and you really want to leave Mitzrayim lock, stock, and barrel. He says, it's a recipe for disaster. You're on the road and your kids are with you? Can't be. Moshe then answers, says the Zayit Ranan, and he says, you don't get it. Nelech. We're going to go with our children, with the old people, because that's what servicing Hashem is. It's about bringing the klal in. It's about bringing everybody, being together, bringing our children, caring for others. Rav Lau, the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv, I think he retired, but he's still the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv, I don't know, former chief rabbi of Israel, Shaul Meir, last week when they had the Holocaust remembrance, amazing thing where all those 50 countries came. So he spoke so amazing, so beautifully. He spoke about the great vort about on the Teva. Why does it say that none of the animals killed each other? They didn't bite each other because they had a common goal. And we, all the nations of the world, should have a common goal against hate and against all these different things. True. But here he says something amazing. Because what happens after this? The Makkah of Choshech. And when the Pesukim define, says Rav Lau, the Makkah of Choshech, it says, what happens? That, Vayomer Hashem, the Teyadcha, Vayet Yam Moshe. And it says, Lo Ra'u Ish Et Achiv. Says Rav Lau, what does that mean? What a weird term. It was so dark, you couldn't see your brother. How about, it was so dark, I couldn't see my fingers. Because it says, what is it after that? Velo Kamu Ish, they couldn't get up. Says Rav Lau, no, it was a different type. He says that was the difference between the Mitzrayim. Because what does the pasuk say after that? And what happened to the Jews? Light. Everything was light. Because the difference between the Jews and the non-Jews were, they cared about their brothers. I'm not letting the old guy, Nebuch, who's 90 years old, and say, what, he's going to come with that out of Mitzrayim? He's going to die anyway. What's the point? No, v'zkeinenu nelech. My children, they're my future. Of course I'm going to go with them. Because I care about Achiv. I care about my future. Loru it achiv, because Rav Lau says they didn't care for each other. That's the difference. And Rav Zilberstein paskin this halacha and says, yeah, you have to take your kid with you. Let your kid see the Rebbe, even though he's 10 years old. People tell me stories about how they were a little kid and they met a great gadol. You know, they sat through Rav Soloveitchik's long Tshuva drasha. He said, I'll never forget it for my, I have no idea what he said, but I saw Rav Soloveitchik. Wow. You know, I went to, when Rav Steinman was in America, we went there and he was in the Kaladas Yeshurin, the German synagogue. Nobody understood a word of Yiddish and he just spoke Yiddish. And it was maybe for 10 minutes. And it was a great experience. He just felt like, wow. We have to care. We have to understand that we're the nation of Kedusha. And as I just pointed out, that's what Shovavim is about. Rav Biderman quotes a pre-Megadim called Hamagid, the pre-Megadim. And there the pre-Megadim says that the word Shovim, there's different interpretations of what Shovim means. Rebellious, broken, banished. But he says one of the interpretations is Shovim comes from the word, means, the translation means, people who have done tshuva several times. They return, Shovim. Oh, you're here again? You know, I once went out on a date. And the wonderful waiter says, oh, you're here again, but not with the same girl, huh? Like, wow, thank you very much. You can imagine that date didn't go well. The Pasuk says, Shuvu Banim, Yirmiyahu, Shovim. That's where we get this term Shovim from. What does it mean, Shuvu Banim? We translate it as, do tshuva, your children. You children. My children. Banim. Even though you did tshuva again. Even though you sat there, Rosh Hashanah, and you cried. He said, I'm never going to do this again. I swear, I'm not. And you did it. Shovim says, stop. Stop. Try again. Last year was also Shovim. Last year you also said, I'm going to do tshuva. And you listened to Rav Moshe's speech. And you said, I'm not going to watch that. And I'm not going to do this. Okay. Try again. Many Rosh Hashanahs have passed, he says. We basically remain the same, or Chas V'Shalom became worse. We have to realize that we are not just by ourselves. We're a nation of caring. Do you know what? People look at me, I'm a Shana Bet guy. People look at me and they say, well, how does this person act? What are my children going to see? I want my children to see my Hislavas for going to the Rebbe. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Paro, you don't get it because that's your nation doesn't understand. Like the famous story I told you about Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. His grandchildren are taking, I heard this from Rav, his son, his grandson, Rav Mordechai Kamenetsky. They're taking care of him on the plane to Eretz Yisrael, getting him slippers, getting him everything. And the man next to him was old. He says, my children and grandchildren are also on this flight. They're not taking care of me. They didn't even ask me for a cup of water. He says, I'll tell you the difference. You think you're from apes. You think you're from monkeys. And therefore, as traditions go on, you get closer away from the monkey. But we believe that we're from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And therefore, the farther we get away, the farther we are away from the great of the Avos. And therefore, they're taking care of what is cherished. But we also have to believe the other way. We have to believe that people are watching us. Moshe says to Paro, no, you don't get it. You don't care about what I'm doing and the effect that it has on other people. I want my children to watch me. I want them to see that it's going to be difficult to daven to Hashem in the middle of nowhere. And guess what? The bread is not going to taste good because it's going to be matzah. That's fine. I want them to understand that. The whole, in our parasha, the whole concept of Korban Pesach is the achdus. There are all these halachas that has to be together. You have to get enough of a chabura. They can't go up to the roof. That's what it is. We are banim. We are children. Sometimes we seem like slaves, he says, but when a son sins against his father, he can always come back. Shuvu banim, Hashem says during this time of Shovavim. Shuvavim, Shovavim. Shuvu banim, Shovavim, come back to me. I know. So, but at least try. He gives a great analogy. $100 bill falls. You see it falling. And they go, oh shoot, because it rained last week. Dafka falls right into that puddle. It's disgusting. It's full of mud. And now you're like, oh, but it's a $100 bill. You want to go get it. And as you're going to get it, like 16 people step on it. It's got even more mud than it ever had before. So clearly you're not going to pick it up and use the $100 bill. It's disgusting, right? No, every single person would pick up the bill. You see the same thing happen to a diamond. You're like, I can't use this diamond now because it's disgusting. Just wash it off. What's wrong? Wash it off. Somebody gives you a new car. They said, here's a new car. I don't want this car. It's because it rained last week. It's full of mud. Like, okay, 50 shekel. You just got a new car. And you just spent, you know, instead of 20,000 shekel, of course you're going to take the car. Says Rav Biderman, that's what a Jew is. Doesn't matter how much we fall, how dirty we are, just clean it off. That's what this time is about. But I think it's also about spending a time where we care about our actions and who we are and what we are. And that's how we get to Kobe Bryant. That's how we get to. For whatever he did, and there's a long history, and my son has his book, and I've never read it. And I know greatest star, what happened yesterday, LeBron James passed his, I get all that. But why are people so upset? Because it's a tragic loss. Because when someone dies and they're 41 years old, you look at yourself,
you're half my age, but you say to yourself, oh my God, I'm past that age. That's what I say. And you say, I'm half that age. Look what he accomplished in his life. What have I done in my life? You could say whatever you want about him and allegations. But Betachlis, he accomplished a lot, and he came from relatively nothing to become the great person he was through trials and tribulations. And it's because, and apparently, he actually cared what people thought about him. That is what a person has to care about. Bivonosenu. No, my children, Bizikainenu, I want people to see that my trials and tribulations are what I have to go through. That's who I am, and that's what I'm about. That's what Shovim is about. You fell last year? No. And Dafka in the area of Kedusha. I think it's important, we can take good things. Say, well, you know, he's not Jewish, what do I care about Kobe Bryant? There were good things about him. I could take great midos that he did do. Tenacious. Practicing on the court longer than anybody else. That, yeah, these are things that are important. Guy says, I can't learn Torah. You can't learn Torah. Look at Kobe Bryant. He thought he couldn't learn Torah either. No, he thought he couldn't play basketball. And he kept practicing and practicing. Look who he became. And you can't learn Torah? Yeah, you can take good lessons from it. But I think when you see someone of that, the potential that he could have had, the right, what he could have, the hashbah he could have had, I hear the word, guys. I hear it. I'll just end with that Moshe Rabbeinu started off with small steps. He said, I only want to leave for 3 days. And he says that the message there was step by step. That's who we are. That's who we become. Tshuva is a step by step process. And that's what the Vilna Gaon says. We take small steps in Sata Dishmaya. Because if we take large steps, there's no Sata Dishmaya. We could lose everything. A person who seeks to grow has to do so according to his level and not jump to a level that maybe his friend is at. You have to care, yes, on one hand about yourself and about the klal. That's who we are and that's what we can become. And that's why this is an important time of Shovim. It's an important time. Rosh Chodesh Shvat. I won't, Mirtzah Hashem, next week I will be here so we could share other ideas. But as Tu B'Shvat comes, right, it's that middle of the year. This is a hard time, you know. The last few weeks has been cold and rainy. Baruch Hashem, it's been rainy for those that love Eretz Yisrael. But it's hard. And now, the time changed. Guess what's starting to happen now? It's starting to get darker a little bit later. There's actually, you're going to start to see, especially with all the rain, the Shkedi Aparacha. Things are positive. Because it's the small steps that make the difference. And those are the small steps, and when kids see those steps, they're like, why does my father have a Gemara? What is going on with him? Oh, I'm trying Dafiomi. Ah. That's the ultimate nachas to the Rabbanu Shalom. We should be zeichet to take small steps and show the Rabbanu Shalom that we are trying the best that we can. And with that, Amir Tz Hashem, we will build the base of Mikdash HaShlishi B'Meir V'Yameinu. Amen. V'Yameinu.